This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again, this is your friend Brent with Paul, and we're talking about conflict. Today we're in the unmanaged conflict cycle. We started this, looked at stage one of tension development and stage two of role dilemma, and then decided to stuff everything in preparation for finishing up the cycle today. So take it away, stuffy Paul.
That's right. Real quick, by way of review, again, what we're talking about is the five-stage unmanaged conflict cycle. Stage one is tension development. Stage two, role dilemma. Three is injustice collecting. Four is confrontation. Five is adjustments. Stage three, in injustice collecting, what we do with all this stuff that had gone on in stage one and two, that I understand who's wrong, and internally I've kind of begun to build my list in stage two. What happened is, as I move into stage three, I've got my list. This is the time to prepare for battle. This is the time where, you know, you've got all this list of things. Maybe you're driving in your car and you're thinking about what's gone on with that person, and you just find yourself starting to get angry and frustrated. This is the time when you may visualize a conversation that you're having with the person and, oh, well, I'm going to say this, or I should have said that, or the next time I'm going to say this, or they'll say this and I'll say that. We start to think all the things and can actually begin to feel angry or to feel upset, but it's still all internal. We're getting prepared. We're getting all our weapons in row.
You're attempting to manage the conflict before you manage the conflict.
Right, ahead of time, and it's all internal.
That's not necessarily a good thing.
That's right. It's not, because we're not managing it effectively. What we're kind of managing is the unmanageability of it. We're not to get too way out there. This is the time where we take all those things on our list and we save them for later use, that we kind of just add that onto the list. We think, well, you know what? That's just more par for the course. That's just how they are. Oh, here they go again. And we think, you know what? Sometime in the future, I'm going to say something about this. In addition here, what we begin to believe is we move into a hopelessness. No. Things are only going to get worse. The other person's never going to change, or this organization's never going to change, or this situation's never going to change. It's just how it is. Things are only going to get worse. And what starts to happen is a lot of negative energy. That can happen in our emotions. We can start to become resentful. We can start to have what appears to be a depression, or being tired all the time, irritability, maybe snapping. Be irritated in one domain and take that irritation out in another domain. I'm mad at work, so I'm grumpy at home. Or I'm mad at home, so I'm grumpy at work. Or for me, I just yell at the dogs. That's what I do.
Sure.
That it starts to perpetuate, and it leaks into all areas of my life. What happens then? We move from injustice collecting into confrontation. This isn't healthy confrontation.
Yeah. Before we go in there, can I put an asterisk in there?
That's good. See, good tension development. See, good, stage good. One, okay. You stop me.
Good. Well, I was thinking that if we're wandering around, you and I, collecting, making this list, harboring these injustices, we're primed to be vigilant to catch other conflicts on the fly.
Absolutely.
It's like we become enabled to recognize negative situations. And I can just see how unmanaged conflict can really serve as a magnet for other negative feeling
Absolutely.
States.
Absolutely. Because if I feel helpless and frustrated in one area, then I start to transfer it to others. And what starts to happen is I perpetuate it.
Yeah. And then we move towards, you're ready to confront anybody about anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything. And not healthy confrontation.
Right. Okay.
This is an angry confrontation. This is, I would even modify the word. I'd say this is more attack-oriented confrontation.
Attack-oriented. Wow. Okay. So stage four.
And it happens. This happens at the unplanned, inconvenient time.
Of course.
When you think of the fights that you've had with children or with spouse or with people in your life, it never happens when you have a lot of time. For me, I've misplaced my keys. I've done all this stuff. I have something due that I didn't get quite done. I'm running late. The button on my pants came off. And Julie walks up and says, "We need to talk right now." It's an inconvenient, unplanned time. It explodes. It explodes then because all this frustration's gone on. I can't contain it anymore. I can't hold it. And the explosion happens at the worst possible time. Late nights.
Yeah.
When people are getting ready to go to bed, getting ready to leave for work, when they're on their way to church, when there's no opportunity to really resolve it, that's when it explodes. The focus is usually on judging and attacking. You begin to tell the other person what's wrong with them, how they've treated you, and they get overwhelmed by the list. The collected injustices are unleashed. You share the list. You share the list with them in an intense, in their face, yelling, screaming, crying, weeping way. All of a sudden now, this person is overwhelmed with the list of things that they've done wrong. Now, do you have a right to have those things, to be heard about those things? Absolutely. But the other person has no idea because we got to remember this is unmanaged conflict.
Yeah, this is what happened when we are left to our own devices.
Right. And remember that time 6 months ago when you said a lot of times the other person may not even remember, which then makes it worse. They feel overwhelmed. They get defensive. And the fight is usually worse than imagined. Things spiral out of control. That's where words are said. We say things that we regret. Sometimes physical actions will happen. Maybe someone will get up and walk out. That's where people will quit all of a sudden in an organization. They just walk out. They just quit their job. They leave because I've had it. I'm done. Because now the sharing is worse than imagined.
Yeah.
It's exploded. What happens next? We move from stage four into stage five. And that's where adjustments happened. If not managed, the parties adjust. They either adjust emotionally or they adjust physically. That's where people will move away from family members because they just can't get along with them. The adjustments that happen emotionally are little walls that get built up. We just don't go there anymore. We continue to not have those conversations. We think this person's never going to change there, so I'll never talk with them about that again. And what starts to happen is we slowly start to drift further and further and further away. Sometimes these adjustments are dramatic. Sometimes they're small, but they usually increase. I may adjust emotionally because we disagree about how the toilet paper is supposed to go when we're newly married.
Sure.
You know, and that's my first adjustment. 10 years later, I'm meeting with my attorney and I'm getting a divorce because all those adjustments begin to build. They're both adjustments. And the habit starts with the conversation about the toilet paper.
Yeah.
And it ends in, you know what, finally, there's no other place to adjust. Finally, I just have to leave. Finally, I have to say, you know what, I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah. What you're not saying, Paul, is that if you can't talk about toilet paper, you're going to get a divorce.
Right. No, I'm not
saying
that.
But what you're saying is if you don't figure out how to talk about things when you're toilet papering.
And the correct way, talking, actually, for toilet paper is it flipping over
right,
the top,
yeah,
just
well,
for those of you who are wondering.
Thank you. Of course, there are some listeners in our audience that may not have access to a toilet paper roll.
That's
on
right.
A toilet paper. So we have to moderate that. But the issue here for the wider reader, listener audience, excuse me, is if you can't develop a strategy that's appropriate and effective in talking about the little things, you certainly are not going to be able to talk about the big things.
And the adjustments happen small at first and begin to build. The adjustments sometimes are really obvious.
Yeah.
It's obvious when a couple gets a divorce. It's obvious when someone quits a job. That's an obvious adjustment. What's not as obvious is the little internal adjustments that happen.
Yeah.
And left unmanaged, what happens here is now it doesn't just end. What happens is now all of a sudden, now I come right back to 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it starts over again. Tension development. There's a new situation that's gone on. But see, now I have history.
Yeah.
Now I have history. And the cycle continues to get bigger.
Yeah.
The adjustments continue to get bigger. The fights continue to get bigger. The list continues to get longer until people make the choice to say, wait a minute, we have to stop the cycle.
I struggle a little bit with using the word adjustment as the title of that stage because adjustment to me has a lot of healthy meanings. But really what here we're meaning mismanagement, we're meaning reaction. And so it's important, you know, that
or distancing.
Or distancing. You know, so it's not a positive adjustment in the unmanaged or mismanaged conflict cycle. Now, you know, one of the problems of talking about conflict management in terms of the wider listener audience, those of you out there from very different places, different cultural contexts, is that we're probably going to be presenting a system or a way of thinking about things that is pretty much Western Hemisphere oriented. And there's a lot of very good and very useful ways of managing conflict in the Eastern Hemisphere. And I want to apologize to any of you that are thinking that we're intentionally ignoring that. We're not intentionally ignoring that. And hopefully we'll be able to come up with some examples how this might be interpreted in those areas as well. But as you think about all of this, I want you to think about, how often am I repeating an unmanaged conflict cycle? What are some of the things that I'm doing? And who do you look at? It's very interesting from a therapist perspective to hear Paul talk so much about his marriage relationship. One begins to wonder, but I happen to know Paul well, and one of the reasons he can use his relationship with his wife as an example is because he works so hard at making it effective and doing it well.
We both do.
Thank you. She's not going to listen to this, is she? Anyway, the idea about all of that is, think through, is an unmanaged cycle in your marriage and your relationship with your team, your coworkers, other people around? Think about that. Jot some notes to yourself about that as we prepare for looking next at the conflict resolution process, which hopefully will give us some keys to figure out how to get out of this cycle. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.